on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Thursday, December 11th, 2025 edition. And the fourth quarter is racing quickly to the finish line. Just a few more weeks in the trading year. We're on to 2026. That basically means we're there. New trends are emerging in markets, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But this hour is dedicated to you. I'm Justin Klein, and my goal each and every day is help you take that next step in your journey towards financial freedom, whatever that means to you. And we do that by answering your finance and investment questions, as well as bringing you data and perspective developed over 25 years of investment experience. And I hope today you found some sort of success in markets, and our goal is to magnify that each day. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But first, let's tackle this caller question now.
Yes, I was wondering if you could give me your opinion on PWER. It's an equity energy ETF. Thank you.
Okay, interesting. PWER is the symbol. And this is a Nomura Energy Transition ETF. Okay. Now, first off, I'll start off with my always initial impressions of these funds. And that is usually not great, because I don't like typically thematic funds. Thematic funds often come about at the worst time. And people are interested in them at the worst time, right? When sentiment is the most bullish. And as a value investor and knowing the average person, it's hard for me to say jump on board with that theme for the long term. Most investments fall under two categories. It's usually a trend following, right? Following the trend, or reversion to the mean. And all assets eventually revert to the mean, including assets that are trending well. So that means that if you're jumping on that trend, then you have to get off in time. So if that's what you want to do and you want to just follow the trend, that's great, but understand what it is. It's riding the trend. And this has been an uptrend since April. And let me see what the holdings are. 38% energy, 42% basic materials. Top holding is First Solar, then Steel Dynamics. So a steel name, one of the better steel run companies out there. That's good. Then a copper producer, Hudson Bay Minerals. I'm not sure what they do. Arc Resources, Alcoa, that's aluminum, EQT, natural gas, ConocoPhillips, big integrated oil name, etc. Let's see, they have some gold, the wheat and precious metals. I'm just looking at the next top 10. So I generally like the space that this is in. So if you're just want broad exposure to these energy transition materials, I would say yes, I would own it, but understand that this will eventually revert to the mean. And the fact that you own the whole space as opposed to best of breed means that you're going to be subject to a large decline when the tide turns, but the tide might not turn for a while. It's also fairly illiquid, which I don't love. You're talking about 50-day average of only 1,400 shares. And that's a $35 stock. Let me look at the amount of assets under management. Only 8 million. The issue here, let's see how long this has been in existence, is it costs money to run an ETF. This has been in existence since October of last year. So it's fairly new. So they'll probably give it a little bit of time. But right now, Nomura is losing money on this. They're not bringing in enough fees. 80 basis point is the expense ratio. So you're paying that as well. And Nomura is only bringing in, you know, about 160. Let's see. No, not even that. Apologize. Less than 80 grand a year. Less than 80 grand a year in fees. Not enough to keep this thing really going. So it'll probably close up shop at some time if it can't get more assets under management. And you're going to be paying that 80 basis points in the meantime. So I like the space. I rather own Best of Breed. And I probably find a better fund than this that has a lower expense ratio and has some staying power. All right. Thanks for the call. Now, I have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes as usual. But our main focus point is the super catch up. And that's new for 2026. There's some new 401k rules, and it's not just about being over 50. It's now if you're over 60. So we'll talk about what the new limits will be for 2026 when it comes to your contributions and your 401k, your IRA, and especially if you are over the age of 50 as well as age of 60. So we'll talk about those details. In addition, we have other topics on the docket. One is in regards to the Permian Basin, the shale patch that's been the source of oil supply growth here in the United States for the last decade plus. It's really been the main source of growth, and it's hitting a new milestone. And we'll talk about what that means for the broader oil markets. Also, more and more, markets are becoming hard to decipher between investing and simply gambling. And I'll talk about my general thought, but kind of how markets, other companies like the CME, like the NYSE, et cetera, are playing this space and how to think about it. You know, if you're an investor and you want to make money, we all want to make money, right? And unfortunately, there's more and more ways to put that money in the line, but in a way that makes money for the house instead of you, the investor. So we'll talk about that. Also get to voice bank calls. One is on how to short a stock. The other is on Warner Brothers Discovery. That'll be interesting considering it looks like they're being bought out. And we have some questions that came in via the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel as well. And of course, we welcome your finance and investment questions right now. So don't hesitate to pick up the phone and give me a call. We're heading to a break right now. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestTalk voice bank live during 4 to 5 hour Pacific time every weekday. And you can listen on our website live streaming, or you can listen on AM 1220 in the Bay Area. And if you're listening after hours, no big deal. You can call and leave a message. Either way, the number is 888-99-CHART. Now hang on, then we'll talk about today's market activity in the next segment.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce a high-value, limited-time offer, the Holiday Estate Bundle. It's specifically designed to help new households quickly establish a solid foundation for their financial and personal legacies before the year ends. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit, and it's all powered by our trusted partner, Trust and Will. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com. And while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started. And now the phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions. 888-99-CHART. In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, let's go take a look at the market today. It was a decidedly positive day. Now, it was bifurcated, though, in a big, big way. You had a lot of the Mag 7 names under pressure. Names like Broadcom down 1.6%. Was this on the back of Oracle's earnings? That was down about 11% on the day. NVIDIA down 1.5%, Google down 2.5% as well, Apple down slightly. Only really Microsoft eked out about a 1% gain. Same with Meta. Those were up. But if you look at the rest of the market, there was a lot of green, especially in the finance space. You had Visa up 6%, MasterCard up 4.5%, JP Morgan up 2%, and some really nice strength on a Fed that is now in QE mode. Talked about this a little bit on our Instagram account yesterday. And, this is money printing is back. QE starts tomorrow. If I'm remembering correctly, the date, I believe it was 12-12. It's either tomorrow or early next week. And at $40 billion a month, not nothing. So clearly they are worried about the treasury market potential dysfunction and the amount of debt that needs to be issued next year. I think it's somewhere around $8 or $9 trillion that needs to be rolled over in 2026. And so this is, I think, bearish for the dollar in general. And it's good for hard assets. And that's what you saw today in a material way. You had, let me take a look here. You had the dollar, where are we? Treasuries were mixed. Dollar was down 0.5%. Gold finished up 2.1%. Bitcoin remained down 1.1%, kind of in correlation to the NASDAQ being a laggard today. WTI ended up down 1.5% on the day. So that was kind of the broad markets. But like I said, it was kind of bifurcated. The NASDAQ actually was down 0.25%. Excuse me, I thought it was inched up, but actually down 0.25%. Really dragged down by those Mag 7 names. So harder assets are starting to win once again in small caps. Small caps had a really nice day, well up over 1% on the day. Even the Dow did nicely, up 1.3% on the day. So definitely a new theme coming into the markets as we close the year. And it kind of started before this Fed meeting, if I'm being honest with you. And it continued today. And if I look at, let me look at the sectors here. So yeah, you had technology down about 0.5%. Industrials are up 1%. Financials up 1.8%. You had real estate up about 0.5%. Utilities up 0.7%. And metals and mining up 4.7% on the day. GDX up 3.5%. Silver up 4.5% on the silver miners, at least up that much on the day. Copper miners up about 1% on the day. So continue to get this debasement trade on what it looks like to be a weaker dollar. And I've said this is if you get a carry trade unwind where you get these other currencies finding solid strength, the Swiss franc up 0.6% on the day. And that might seem like a lot, but that's a decent move for a currency. The euro up 0.4% on the day. And these are carry trade currencies, meaning you can borrow cheaper than you can here, and you can invest the proceeds in our markets, and that is called the carry trade. And so that's okay. That works well when the market you're investing in has an appreciating currency, like the dollar. But if the dollar reverses, I think that is a risk for next year, and especially those large cap names, because most of those investors are doing so by just buying the broader S&P. Whereas now with a weaker currency, money is rotating into the value side of the market, into harder assets. And you saw that today, the growth side of the market underperformed the value side by about 73 basis points. And if you look at a chart of that, that actually peaked out a few weeks ago in late October. So you're starting to see a downtrend and you're starting to see value outperform growth. And I've always said after the Fed meeting, you want to see kind of how the week closes to get a sense of how the market feels about Fed policy, both on this move and forward-looking statements. And it's pretty clear that the fact that QE is back is changing the tenor of how the market is moving. Now we're going into a break. My focus point is coming up next. So I'm ready for your calls right now at 888-99-CHART.
The number of data breaches worldwide rises every year, going up by 211% from 2023 to 2024, due mainly to 5 mega breaches. Scams, identity theft, they all start with your personal data being exposed across various websites. It's on people search sites, in data broker databases, shady directories, AI answers, and even search results. That's the part most people don't see. Their home address, phone number, email accounts, and social security number aren't just leaked. They're being actively bought and sold by bad actors. But you can protect yourself now with Incogni. Incogni tracks down and removes your personal data from multiple sites, including online directories, people search sites, and even commercial databases. The Incogni process is fully automated for hundreds of known data brokers, companies that collect and sell your data without your consent. The categories of data brokers Incogni covers include marketing, recruitment, health information, risk mitigation, financial information, and people search sites. With Incogni, you can protect your privacy in 3 easy steps. Remember, they can't harm you if they can't find you. So, take back your personal data with Incogni. Use code INVESTTALK to get 60% off annual plans. Go to incogni.com/investtalk. You can also find the link in the episode description.
Justin Klein is here, and he's ready with answers to your finance and investment questions. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Are you ready for the changes in catch-up contributions for 2026? Yeah, the limits on all types of contributions from 401ks to IRAs and their catch-up contributions are moving higher in the new year. And the big one is 401k plans. That's where most people save for their retirement. That's moving up from a max of $23,500 this year to $24,500 next year. So make sure you adjust accordingly if you're trying to max that out. And I think everybody should be trying to get there in one shape or form. Now, when it comes to an IRA, the contribution limit is being increased from $7,000 to $7,500. But where things really change are the catch-up contributions. Okay. And normally, if you're over the age of 50 for an IRA, you can contribute an extra $1,000. So that's going to $1,100 next year. But there's a new, in the Secure Act 2.0, there's a higher catch-up contribution if you're age 60, 61, 62, or 63. And the higher catch-up contribution limit is $11,250. Okay. And this is within your 401k, within your 401k. $11,250. Within, if you're just over 50 and you're investing in, when I say 401k, I'm talking about 403Bs, 457s, TSPs, etc. The normal catch-up contributions go from $7,500 to $8,000. And then if you're, once again, 61, 62, 63, yeah, 60, 61, 62, 63, it's $11,250. Pretty nice jump. Now, the catch-up contribution on an IRA, that one is, it's $5,250. Okay, sorry, $5,250. And if you are, the normal catch-up contribution for an IRA is going from $3,500 to $4,000. So, between 50 and 60, right, it's, or 50 and 59, it's 4,000. 60, 61, 62, 63, it's 52.50. So that's the difference there. Sorry, that was a bit disjointed, but that is the summary of how it's going to work starting next year. Now, there are phase outs as well of how much you can deduct, okay? So you can deduct your normal IRA contributions if you meet certain conditions. But if you also have a workplace retirement plan and you're putting money in that, well, then there are limits to how much you can deduct. So for example, if you're single and you have a workplace plan, talking about a 401k, a 403b, et cetera, then the phase out range is being increased from 81,000 to 91,000 to next year. That's next year, from 79,000 to 89,000 this year. So it's going up a couple thousand. That meaning that starting at that 81,000 in income, partially your IRA contribution can't be deducted. And once you get over 91,000, can't be deducted at all. Now that same thing applies if you're a married couple and your spouse is covered. That is 126,000. $129,000 to 149,000. And if you are not covered, but your spouse is, that's 236,000 to 246,000 in income. Those are the ranges where if you make more than that, you can't deduct your contribution. So that's kind of how that works. But you know, you have to look at these every year. This is why I don't love taxes, because things move and you really have to educate yourself. You have these secure 2.0 changes, always legislation that's kind of moving things around. So you want to make sure you connect with your CPA and dial in exactly what the rules are for you and your situation, your income, your goals, et cetera. And if you don't have a CPA that does that, well, you probably want to move in that direction. Now let's go with a fresh listener question. This one came in today on 888-99-CHART.
Justin, Luke, thank you for all you do. Chuck from Clayton. Hey, I own Warner Brothers Discovery, WBD. I've had it for quite a while, about 3% of my portfolio. Bought it around $10 a share. Obviously, it's climbed and climbed. With everything going on with it right now, and with the takeovers, hostile, or whatever you want to call them, what do you suggest I do with it? I bought it because I wanted a portion of it for the entertainment industry. I've sold as it's grown as part of my portfolio, keeping it around 3%. But what do you think about the totality of the company now with all of this going on around it? I'll be waiting for your answer on the show. Thank you again for all you do.
By looking at Warner Brothers Discovery, and it looks like there is a fight. Netflix was trying to bid for it, and now Paramount's come in and trying to swoop in. President Trump has weighed in, and he's trying to, I think, it seems like he's trying to push it towards an owner that will turn CNN into an outlet that maybe doesn't criticize him as much. And so there's definitely a political aspect to this as well. And that's what worries me, is that part. If you didn't have that part, I would probably say hold it for the bidding war. But, you know, he likes to stick his nose in these things and reduce the bargaining power of Warner Brothers to get the maximum value. So I think there's minimal upside to this point and pretty decent downside if Trump really steps in a big way. So I would probably sell it and move on. Now we're heading into a break. I'm ready for your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment. An Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest 529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started.
2025 rolls on, and you've got finance and investment questions. For Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero, call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Duncan from New York. Thank you for all that you do. I'm trying to do the best I can to learn a little bit on how to short a stock. I'm looking at stock ticker Vera, V-E-R-A, Vera Therapeutics. The way that I'm looking to learn how to short a stock is the following. I am using three sources of research: FinViz, the stock screener, Fidelity.com to actually look at the specifics of the stock, and I'm also using Gemini that actually helps me explain certain terminology. But for the stock screener, I'm looking just for a mid-cap, short float over 10%, a relative volume over 1. I'm also looking for fundamentals of a PS ratio of over 5, return on equity negative, a debt to equity over like 0.1, and return on invested capital negative 1. And in terms of just the technical analysis, I'm looking for a relative strength index of like very high, overbought. Just looking to see what you guys think and what are some other fundamentals or technical signs that I should be basically looking for a float. I hope I did, you know, the right research or use the right resources. So thank you very much and have a good night. Bye.
Well, I'm glad you're utilizing a lot of resources that are out there. The problem is understanding how to apply some of these concepts. So I'll give you the two biggest flaws in the way you are looking for a short candidate. Number one is you're looking for a company that has a high short interest. And while that can give you a sense of how many other people are also betting against it, it also, at least in the short term, creates a lot of risk of a short squeeze because you're not the only one out there that is going to be forced to buy it if it continues to rally. And so having high short interest is fuel for a short squeeze. And a lot of times people can't handle that volatility. When you're short and it goes up, that's volatility. That's effectively like a stock going down if you own it, right? So you actually want low short interest. You want to find names that other people aren't really paying attention to. Now, I like the fact that you're looking at a biotech name. You're looking at a name with negative return on equity, return on assets, burning capital, et cetera, trading at high price to sales, meaning it's overvalued. But in the biotech space, it's all about a story and whether the story is gaining momentum or not. And so I'm not sure about this particular technology that they utilize or not, but I wouldn't be jumping on this, especially when that last part, which is you talked about relative strength, very high. And very high relative strength can mean it's overbought, but that doesn't mean you want to short it. Overbought just means that it probably needs to be cool off a little bit. It needs to consolidate before that next leg higher. It tells you nothing about whether it's going to go down and roll over anytime soon. Stocks that overbought tend to stay overbought, tend to be in an uptrend and stay in an uptrend. The trend is your friend. What you want to do actually is wait till the stock is in a downtrend. That's a much better stock to short. Why? Because the market is recognizing the problems with their business. And whether a stock goes from 100 to zero or $10 to zero, if you short the same dollar amount, you're making the same amount of money. It's irrelevant what the stock is trading for as long as it continues to go down. But in your case, you're looking at a stock that's going up. And this is Vera Therapeutics. Relative strength is 94. It's in an uptrend. It's right near a 52-week high. I don't want to be jumping in front of this, even though you're right. You know, it's a story stock. I don't like those names. I don't want to invest in those names. But momentum is momentum, and you have to respect that. There's a saying in the shorting industry, shall we say, which is don't try to rustle the jaguar out of the tree. Wait till it's out of the tree. You're not going to wrestle it out of the tree. So wait for this to roll over. You want to be looking at names that have terrible relative strength and that people are losing faith in the business altogether. And then it's headed for a zero. So that's ultimately what you want when you're shorting a stock. So look for names with high debt. More than anything, I would want to shorten it with high debt versus high price of sales, high valuation, etc. I want a lot of debt. I want a crappy business. I want it in a downtrend. Those are the names that you want to short. Let's keep things moving and play two in a row from 888-99 chart.
Hey, InvestTalk. I was calling to ask a question on ETF VO. It's a mid-cap ETF. I was wondering if that would be a good hold to have in a Roth IRA for the long-term horizon. I'm only 31, and I was wondering if that one would be a good match to have with VTI or as well VBR, which is a small cap ETF. Just wanted to know what you guys thought about these ETFs. That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, I like that you're trying to diversify maybe out of VTI. VTI is the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index. And as I said before, these big, broad, large cap indices like the S&P, like a VTI, they're not really diversified anymore because they're so tech heavy, so Mag 7 heavy. And so diversifying out of the VTI or a SPY or Qs or whatever into something more mid and small cap that have better valuations and now are starting to trend in a better direction, I think is a smart way to go, especially if you're younger, because longer term, you get better returns from mid caps than you do small caps. I'm talking about over multi-decades. Yeah, there are certain periods where large caps outperform, et cetera. But in general, mid caps have pretty good risk versus reward. And that's what you want over the long term. And so I would much rather be diversifying into a VO or even a VBR. Now, VBR is being on the value side of the market, which I obviously like. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there as well. But overall, both of these are ETFs that I much rather own at this juncture than a VTI or a Qs or an S&P ETF or something like that. Thanks for the call. Let's go talk a little bit about the oil industry and more specifically the domestic U.S. domestic oil industry. And for really since the early 2010s, right around 2010, you had the shale industry start to boom. And it didn't boom more in any one region than in the Permian Basin. Okay, where is the Permian Basin? This is basically West Texas and Southeast New Mexico in that region. And this month, production is supposed to hit a record 6.76 million barrels per day, a little bit higher than last month. But estimates are that most of the top tier oil acreage in that region has been tapped and that depletion is to come. Now, the good news is that improvements in a lot of types of drilling technologies will allow these existing wells to produce longer because they're able to dig into deeper formations, etc. And that is in contrast to previous warnings that the shale boom would have a precipitous decline. Now, I think this is still up in the air, but this is what the oil names are saying and what their projections are for output. Now, right now, the Permian Basin accounts for about half of all U.S. production. On average, this year was 13.6 million barrels in 2025. And prices right now, kind of around the $60 level, were previously prices that caused production to drop considerably. But once again, technology is improving in a material way. So much so that even though we're at an all-time high in production, total number of wells in activity or in action are down 15% year over year in the third quarter. So what names are affected here? Mainly, this is your Exxons, your Chevron, and your ConocoPhillips. They've all been buying up small rivals in multi-billion dollar deals over the past number of years. Exxon bought Pioneer Natural Resources back in 2024. ConocoPhillips bought Marathon Oil that year as well. And Exxon announced just this week that it plans to double its Permian oil output between now and 2030. So it's still going all in, and it's using things like AI and new hydraulic fracturing techniques to improve their output. In fact, drilling costs are down around 40% and oil recovery rates about 50%. That's between 2019 and what's expected to be in 2030. And so the break-even rate for a lot of these oil names are down around $30 or $40 per barrel. Whereas the industry average as a whole is $62 per barrel. So they're making a lot of headway here when it comes to efficiency of these wells. Because this industry, this technology has only been around for about 15 years or so. So they're continuing to perfect it. So what that means is that the bigger names, they're the ones that are squeezing more profits out of each barrel because they're creating efficiencies. They're using technologies. They're using AI. And so this is why if I'm going to invest in the oil names, I want to be either investing in those that are leaning on natural gas production, because that's in super high demand when it comes to producing electricity for AI data centers, for example. Or I want something with a bit of heft where they can spread costs. They can utilize what they learn across thousands and thousands of different wells to improve every single well that's out there. And this is a good example of where AI can really be applicable and is already improving the efficiency of not just office work, but also things like drilling for oil. So I wanted to highlight that because you always want to monitor how different industries are evolving, improving, and becoming more efficient and creating more profits for shareholders. And if they are, well, that tends to mean they are better investments. Now, with more than 62 million downloads, this is Invest Talk. Hang on, our work will continue in just a minute.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce a high-value, limited-time offer, the Holiday Estate Bundle. It's specifically designed to help new households quickly establish a solid foundation for their financial and personal legacies before the year ends. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit, and it's all powered by our trusted partner, Trust and Will. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com, and while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started. And now the phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I'd like your opinion on a Swedish bank, ticker symbol SVLNY. It's Svenska Handelsbank. I just was doing my research and it popped up and I was wondering your opinion about it for a long-term hold. Thanks.
It looks like he mixed up the ticker symbol on this, but I believe he's talking about the same bank. It's S as in Sam, V as in Victor, N as in Nancy, L as in Larry, Y as in yellow. And this is a bank out of Sweden. I love the way he pronounced it. I don't know if it's accurate. Svenska Handelsbank? Banken. And banken is bank in Swedish. So it is a bank. And it is in a nice, solid uptrend. If you zoom out to a weekly chart, it bottomed back in April of 2023, right around $4 per share. Now we're up to, what are we, $7 and change, $7.17 at the close today. And generally, I like these foreign banks, especially those that typically have strongholds on, monopolies, shall we say, on certain countries. And a lot of these banks tend to. Remember, people don't realize we have way more banks than the average country in the world, the average developed market. Most developed markets have a handful of banks, 10, 12, 20 banks, something like that. And they're all fairly large. Some of them only have three or four banks. And so that helps with driving policy on a macro level. But it also gives these banks, I think, steadier returns. And you look at return equity right around 12.5%, which is pretty good. And I still think it's trading at reasonable valuations and the trend's good. So the trend is your friend. I like the foreign exposure. I would buy this. SVNLY is the symbol. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Millions of downloads have proved there's value in every InvestTalk podcast. Call anytime, 24/7, InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I was calling in to get your thoughts on the stock GE Vernova. The symbol is GEV. Wanted to see if this would be something to get into and what would be a good entry point. So I will be listening to your podcast for the answer. Thank you.
All right, looking at GE Vernova, and this is a spinoff from GE, and it is all about power generation and putting in or creating the capacity for running these AI data centers. And that's why their business is booming. If you look at their earnings, last year was $5.66, $7.19 expected full year this year, and then $12.77 next year. The problem is it's a $700 stock. Basically, you missed it. Okay. It is too expensive. You see today, even with the market up, it was down about 2.5%. And I think the valuations are just too egregious. Now, would I buy this at some point? Yes. And I'm looking at support down around $435 per share. At that level, I think you have a reasonable valuation here. And we all know that, at some point, the fervor is going to slow down. The demand for data center growth is going to be called into question. Maybe that's another DeepSeek moment where these AI platforms are not going to need as much capacity. They're already talking about being able to, in just a year or two, maybe three, is actually having AI capabilities on a phone where it's not being queried to some AI data center server. And I think that ultimately will slow down the demand for capacity here. And it also bumps up against just the laws of economics that you can't spend hundreds of billions of dollars year after year for infrastructure and CapEx when you're only getting tens of billions of dollars in requisite revenue. Talked about that many times. And, you know, I still think names like GE Vernova are better bets than many parts of the AI tech stack over the long term. But there's also a lot of optimism built into everything surrounding it. And I think 2026 is the year where that will retrench to a degree. And that's where I think the opportunity will lie. It's probably not right now because I do think we're hitting an inflection point. So I would keep on my watch list, but I wouldn't be buying it right now. Lastly, let's talk a little bit about investing versus gambling. And what I'm seeing out there is pretty worrying. Even companies like Intercontinental Exchange, which owns the New York Stock Exchange, they're investing into Polymarket. CME Group is partnering with FanDuel. Many are offering financial contracts tied to sports as well as economic indicators and even stock prices. And it's all coming down to speculation. And I think cryptocurrency is the root cause of this. This is where many people in 2020, during the pandemic, they were bored and they jumped on Robinhood and all these different betting apps and they were betting on cryptocurrencies, and some of them went up big and then a lot of them crashed and most people lost money, but certain other ones did very well. They were able to trade correctly. And so the dream now is always, okay, if I can't get rich in the traditional economy, I'm going to go speculate. And it's very nihilistic. And there's now zero DT options, which are now half of all S&P 500 daily option volumes. And they didn't even exist 5 years ago. Leverage ETF assets are now $240 billion, six-fold increase since the pandemic. And what it shows you here is that people are starting to conflate investing with speculating. And there's parallels here. It's called the bucket shops of the 1920s. And obviously that ruined a whole lot of people. So take this as a bit of a warning and understand when you're investing versus speculating. And far too many people, especially young people in this economy, have started to rely on speculation and confuse it with investing. Now, I'm Justin Klein. And today's show made you think about your own financial future in any way, your broad financial plan, your investment allocation, whether you're investing versus speculating, etc. I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review tab and fill that out. Please remember, you can tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, as well as over on our YouTube channel as well. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.